जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय घोर भक्त वृंद श्री चैतन्य चरितमृत Adi Lila, chapter 10, verse number 15. Banda Sakka Gada Dara Panda Goshani Teho Lakshmi Rupa Tanra Sama Kehanai Banda Sakka Gada Dara Panda Goshani Teho Lakshmi Rupa Tanra Samake Anai. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. Gadadhar Pandit, the fourth branch, is described as an incarnation of the pleasure potency of Krishna. No one, therefore, can equal him. Please receive Gadadhar Pandit. The fourth branch is described as an incarnation of the pleasure potency of Sri Krishna. No one, therefore, can equal him. Purport. In Agoda Gonadesh Deepika, verses 147 through 153, it is stated, the pleasure potency of Sri Krishna, formerly known as Vrindavaneshwari, is now personified in the form of Sri Gadadhar Pandit in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami has pointed out that in the shape of Lakshmi, the pleasure potency of Krishna, she was formerly very dear to the Lord as Shamasundar Vallabha. The same Shambhasundar Vallabha was present in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as Gadadhar Pandit. Formerly as Lalita Shakhi, she was always devoted to Srimati Radharani. Thus, Gadadhar Pandit is simultaneously an incarnation of Srimati Radharani and Lalita Shakhi. In the 12th chapter of this part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is the description of the descendants or the specific succession of Gadadhara Pandit. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyanajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shikuruve Namaha Sri Radha Prema Rupa Yapura Vrindavaneshwari Sarasri Gadadhar Gaura Vallabha Pandita Gyakyaika Nirnita Svarupa Yo Raja Lakshmitaya Vyakta Pura Vrindavane Lakshmi Vishamasunda Vallabha Sadhya Gaura Prema Lakshmi Sri Gadadhar Pandit Ratham Angu Anugata Yatal Lalita Anuradaika Atta Pravishat Esatam Gaura Chandrodeya Yatta. The incarnation of love, who was previously the queen of Vrindavan Radha, is now the beloved of Gaura, named Sri Gadadhar Pandit. Sri Subdamara himself indicated that Gadadhar was Raja's goddess of fortune, the Lakshmi, who was previously the beloved of Shamasundar in Vrindavan. She has today become the goddess of fortune in love for Gaura and is known as Srila Gadadhar Pandit. Lalita, who is also known as Anuradha, is Radha's closest friend and confidant. She has also entered into Gadadhar, as was shown in the play of the Chaitanya Chandrodaya. Gaura Gonadesh Deepika, 147 through 150. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Anahyanya. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears, his identity is very difficult to understand. And only through Scripture can one understand his identity, in no other way. And that is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but he's imbued with the sentiments and emotions of Srimati Radharani. And that is, he plays the part of the object rather than the subject. Or is it vice versa? In other words, rather than being the object of love, he is the beloved, or the one who is the beloved of the object. Or he is in the role of the pleasure potency rather than in the role. He's in, rather than being Shakti, he is Shakti Mam. Rather than being Shakti Mam, he's Shakti. Opposite. Instead of being the source, he is the energy of that source. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya is called Gauranga. As Lord Radharani is known as Gaurangi, Lord Chaitanya is known as Gauranga. That means his bodily features are golden. He appeared in a very beautiful molten golden color that was so beautiful that he received the name Gauda Sundar. The beautiful golden colored one, Lord Chaitanya. His beauty was so captivating that it would simply stun the minds of anyone who come in contact with him. He had beautiful lotus eyes, arms reaching down to his knees. His body was very big and powerful, and he would dance in ecstasy and exhibit various forms of loving emotions. So Krishna takes the role of a devotee of himself, and he becomes, he teaches how to love himself through his own devotee. But still, when he comes as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's still Krishna. Although he's in the role of Radharani, we have to remember he is Krishna. But in order to associate with Krishna, Radharani also came. And here is Radharani. Radharani is Gadadhar Pandit. But not only Radharani, but a combination of that same energy mixed with the Anuradha Shakti, or Lalita, who is the constant confidential companion of Sri Lalita, where she assists Radha and Krishna in their most intimate of intimate pastimes. There are various gopis and there are various Shakis who assist the Lord and Radharani in various aspects of their pleasure. But the most intimate of all confidants is Lalita Sakhi. And of course, that same Lalita Sakhi was there also in Sarup Damodar Goswami. But an aspect of Lalita Sakhi entered into the body of Gadadhar Pandit. And therefore, Gadadhar Pandit is both Radharani and Lalita. Prominent Radharani, Lalita in a lesser position. Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna and Radha, and Srup Damodar is Lalita also. How is it possible? Well, we might say, how is it not possible? Because on the spiritual level, there's no limitations. On the material plane, there are always limitations. There's always measurements. There's always, deficiencies. But on the spiritual level, there's nothing like that. So one soul can enter into many bodies, or one soul, one body can have many aspects of the internal energy of the Lord. So here the example is very prominent, as explained by in Agoda Dargash Deepika, Kavi Kanapur writes to Gaurangadesh Deepika. He was empowered by Lord Chaitanya to understand who's who. Just like Chaitanya Leela is Krishna Leela. There's no difference. It's just Krishna Leela with a different element, and that is the element of mercy. One can approach the Absolute through only in this age through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We cannot approach Radha and Krishna in this age. We don't have the adhikari. We don't have the qualifications to approach Radha and Krishna. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have given us that adhikari, that we simply chant the holy names of the Lord and engage in devotional service under His guidance, follow His instructions. So Lord Chaitanya's teachings, His life, His principles, His devotees, everything are the center of the Gaudiya Vaishnava life. What we know about Radha Krishna is coming through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so, in that Chaitanya Leela, actually it is Krishna Leela, and practically all the associates of Lord Chaitanya were associates of Krishna in Vrindavan. Ramananda Roy was Vishakha, Subdhanava was Lalita, of course Srivastava Thakur was Narada Muni, you know, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who was he? He was the father of Radharani. He was King Vrishabhanu. You can go down the whole list. Who else? The Goswamis. Rupa Goswami was Rupa Manjari. Sanatan Goswami was Labhanga Manjari. Yeah. All the associates of the Lord are manjaris, practically. Why? What is the job of the manjaris? To assist the Lord and His pleasure potency in making transcendental arrangements for their pastimes. So, what is our line? We are following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, and therefore we are in the role of manjaris. That is our bhav. We're Manjari bhav. That is, we assist Radha and Krishna in their transcendental pastimes in Vrindavan. How do we do that? By pleasing them through our devotional service. This is our position. This is the position of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. They're in the mood of the Manjaris, assisting Radha and Krishna in their pastimes through the Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like that. So we're associates of Lord Chaitanya. We become associates. We have to qualify ourselves, and that is we engage in their service with devotion. Like that. So today is the appearance day of Srila Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. Panchatattvam Makam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhakta Avatar Bhakta Kyam Namami Bhakti Shakti Kam. These five ingredients, who are they? The Lord, the Lord's incarnation, the Lord's expansion, the incarnation, the pure devotion, and devotional energy. And Gadadhar is devotional energy. He's Shakti. He's Shakti. And Gadadhar Pandit had a special relationship with Lord Chaitanya. That was unique in that he was practically never separated from Lord Chaitanya. And they grew up together as little boys. And Gadadhar Pandit, although we understand the mood of Radharani and the mood of Lalita, is very feisty. Radharani has a certain mood with Krishna, in that her mood is that she is not always submissive. There are gopis that are very submissive to Krishna, and there's gopis who are not, who chastise Krishna, and he likes that. He likes that better than the submissive gopis. And Radharani is not very submissive sometimes. Mm-hmm. She has her own. But in the role of Gadadhar Pandit, she became a different mood. She took on that mood of submissiveness. And it was very gentle, very sweet, very humble, very, very simple. This was Gadadhar Pandit. He was born from, his father's name was Madhava Mishra. He was born in the area of Navadvipa, It might be mentioned here. His father's name was Madhavamitra, a Rajendra Brahman in the Kashyapa Gotra, and his mother was Ratnavati Devi. He also had a younger brother named Vaninath Pandit. The family remained in Balita Gram until Gadara was 12 and then moved to Navadvip. Gadara Pandit was a brahmachari for his entire life. Indeed, his indifference to the pleasure of the world was such that Ishwara Puripad, who was the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya, was very impressed when he visited Navadvip. Ishwara Puri gave Gadara instructions in a book he had written himself called Krishna Lilamrita. While Mahaprabhu was delighting in his pastimes as a student, there was no scholar in the entire town of Navadvip who was unafraid of entering into the debate with him. Mahaprabhu would defeat one's position and then show how the same position could be defeated. He was a feisty pundit. He would challenge someone with an argument and say, defeat this. And they couldn't. And then he would defeat it himself. And then he would say, okay, now you defeat that. And they couldn't. So he would defeat his own refutation of his original argument and reestablish the original argument. And he would go back and forth like this. Mahaprabhu used to do this. He was the most, erudite and most powerful of all pundits in the whole Navadvipa area. And he was just a young boy. And the devotees didn't know who he was. And they were just saying, what is he? He's just this arrogant scholar. Why does he become a devotee? If he becomes a devotee, he can actually benefit so many because he's so intelligent. But the devotees would get upset because he was so arrogant. Sometimes you meet a person, they're very qualified. Sometimes they have all good qualities, but they're arrogant. Oh, God. But somehow or other, you're attracted by their qualities anyway. And this is what Mahaprabhu was. He was so beautiful and so intelligent. And he had all good qualities, but still he was arrogant. The devotees couldn't stand that. If he only could become a devotee. So Mukunda Srivas and others who were always engaged in devotional service were afraid of getting involved in some useless debates with Nimai Pandit. And so they would avoid him. One day Nimai Pandit said Gadadhar and asked him to give the definition of liberation. So here, somebody asked me about this. What is liberation? Gadadhar answered, according to the Nayaka philosophy, that liberation consists in the final and absolute eradication of all miseries. Adyantika Dukkha Nivritti. Nimai then proceeded to show how this definition was inadequate. The other devotees listening to him speak thought how wonderful it would be if such a brilliant scholar only became a devotee. When Mahaprabhu returned to Gaya, he began revealing the most amazing transformations of divine love. Srimad Pandit was the first to see Mahaprabhu's ecstatic symptoms and reported what he had seen to the other devotees. Srimad Pandit was one of the brothers of Srivas Pandit. It was Sri Ram, and Srivas, and Sriman. When Mahaprabhu decided to reveal his true identity to devotees, he told them to come to the house of Suklambara Brahmachari. Gadadhar was among those who went there, but remained discreet about his presence until he saw Mahaprabhu intoxicated with the power of the holy name. Gadadhar himself was overcome by the ecstatic emotions known as satvikas, and finally Mahaprabhu said to him, Gadadhar, you have such good fortune. From your early childhood, your mind has become fixed on Krishna's lotus feet. While I have been wasting my life in useless activities, despite attaining a great treasure of a human birth, by my misfortune, I was able to make no use of it. It's from the Chaitanya Bhagavan. So what happened? You know, all of a sudden, after Lord Chaitanya returned from Gaya, after getting initiated from Ishwara Puri, he changed. He gave up his arrogance. He gave up all that external pundit. And he became a devotee. And he was taking care of the devotees. He would fold their clothes. He would wash their clothes. He would carry their loads. He would get their prasadam for them. Mahaprabhu became like everyone's servant. And then what happened was he was chanting so much that he would go into these states of ecstasy. And his mother, Sachi Mata, she was thinking, what's happening to my son? He's just acting crazy. I don't know what to do with him. He would roll on the ground and just cry and exhibit all kinds of ecstatic loving emotions for Krishna. And she was thinking, what should I do? So she became really concerned, so she started calling these Kavirajas. Kaviraj is a doctor. And they would give their different opinions. Well, Mata, actually, he has this disease. It's a wind disease. His winds are disordered. I was reading yesterday that when the body's airs are deranged, one gets physical and mental problems. If the airs in the body are not working properly, then the body is not working to its maximum. If you want good health, keep good airs in the body. How do you do that? Pranayama is one very highly recommended. When I was in India this last year, I met a pranayama expert. The devotees brought him to me, thinking that this could help me with my physical problems. So he was a devotee. He was showing me all these pranayama exercises. And boy, this man was about 70 years old, and he had the strength of a 30-year-old man. Strong, powerful guy. He was teaching me all these pranayama things. Anyway, keep the airs in the body working nicely, and you'll see that your health is much nice. Of course, we don't spend a long time, but you can do some. Actually, in today's purport in the Bhagavatam, if you read that, Prabhupada recommends yoga for good health. It'll be in tomorrow's purport in the Bhagavatam class. And so we have to keep good health. If we're not keeping good health, then we can't perform our devotional service, what we say, effectively. Or detracts our minds away from, service, and we have to waste time. So we should try to keep good health as much as possible. So pranayama is one of the ways. So anyway, this doctor told Sachi Mata, your son has a wind disease. His airs are all screwed up. To use a loose term. So what should she do? Well, they said you should bathe him in herbal oils. So she did that. She got a big bath and put all kinds of herbal oils in him and put him in the bath. Still nothing happened. So then she went to another Kaviraj, and he said, well, what he needs is some Shiva ghee. Take some Shiva ghee and rub it on his head. And this will help him. But that didn't work. So she was going crazy, trying to figure out what's wrong with Nimai. You know, he used to be a very sane, respectable, pundit, expert in scripture. Now he's just rolling on the ground, crying, chanting, doing all kinds of emotional things. What's wrong with him? So she was fried. So one day she decided to bring him to Gadadhar Pandit. So she brought him to Gadadhar Pandit. And she said, Gadadhar, find out what's wrong with my son, please. You know, mothers are always concerned about sons, especially. So Gadadhar was there, and Lord Chaitanya said, Gadadhar, what's wrong with me? Ah, Gadadhar said, you have a very rare disease. Very rare disease. And this disease, in fact, I would like to have it also. You have love for Krishna. This is your problem. And Lord Chaitanya said, Gadadhar, thank you very much. If you would have told me I had some physical disease, I would immediately drown myself in the Ganges. Gadadhar saved him. That's how close they were. So he took Gadadhar's word. So, and then, Sachimata, she was so happy. Another time, Lord Chaitanya was in ecstasy. And he was thinking, where's Krishna? Where's Krishna? Where's Krishna? I want to see Krishna. I can't see Krishna. Where's Krishna? Ah, Krishna! He's just crying and so many things. So finally, Gadadhar said, Krishna's in your heart. Krishna's in your heart. Krishna's in your heart. Just be patient. So he just... Lord Chaitanya, like Hanuman. You remember the story of Hanuman? He took his nails and he started to... Because he heard Sita and Ram was in his heart, so he wanted to see. And when he did, he opened up and there was Sita and Ram right there. But Lord Chaitanya tried the same thing and he was trying to rip his skin so he could see Krishna in his heart. His ecstasy was so strong that Nagrab and Gadadhar, with great effort and with great difficulty, somehow or other, stopped him and grabbed his hands and calmed him down. He said, my Lord, wait, wait, just be patient. Krishna's coming, Krishna's coming, Krishna's coming. Just be patient. And the Lord calmed down. And Sachimata, she was there, she saw that. She said, Gadadhar, please don't ever leave my son. Please don't ever leave my son. You are the perfect person to stay with my son. No one can control my son. Even I cannot control my son. Only you can control. This is also significant. Only Radharani can control Krishna. Only Radharani can control Krishna. So, Lord Chaitanya, at one point, decided to take sannyas. And he told... five people. He told Chandrasekhar, he told Srivas Thakur, he told Mukunda, he told Lord Nityananda, and he told Gadadhar. And all of them practically went mad when they heard Lord Chaitanya was going to take sannyas. But he was determined. And finally, that's a whole huge, major, wonderful pastime. Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. And he decided to live in Puri. Why did he decide to live in Puri? Only to save his mother. That's why. He went to Puri to give his mercy to his mother. When you take sannyas, you leave your family. But Mother Sachi requested, my dear Lord, if you go, I will die. And everyone said that. The love for his mother for him was too much. She couldn't bear losing him. So he said, Mother, you are more dear to me than myself. In fact, my body belongs to you. You have given me this body. Therefore, in order to please you, I will not leave you, but I will... Actually, she suggested, please remain in Puri. He said, Puri and Navadvip are like two rooms in the same house. If you go to Vrindavan, I will never see you again. Please go to Puri. So Lord Chaitanya, on the request of his mother, took up residence in Jagannath Puri. And he stayed there for many years. But when he left, what happened? Gadadhar Pandit was thinking, now what? The Lord has taken sannyas, he's going to live in Puri. So what should I do? He decided to take sannyas and went to Puri. A different kind of sannyas. He went to Puri, and Lord Chaitanya gave him a deity to worship named Gopinath. Beautiful deity. You can see that deity now. His name is Tota Gopinath. That's the deity that was worshipped by Gadadhar Pandit through his whole life. And that's the deity where Lord Chaitanya, when he performed his final pastime, he entered into that deity. That's another story. But we'll tell the story of Gadadhar in relationship. So he was worshipping that deity, and that deity was big. It was a big deity. You've seen Radha Madhava in Navadvip Dham, in Mayapur, yes? How many have seen Radha Madhava? Yes, okay. That deity is a big deity. He's 7 feet tall. 7 feet tall. And you're way down, too, when you're looking up at Radha Madhava. So nice. So sweet. So. And so this deity was also very big. So Gadadhar came, and then he took a vow. He took what is called Kshetra Sannyas. Took Kshetra Sannyas. Kshetra Sannyas, Srila Prabhupada says, is our form of vanaprast. In our society, we don't have a clear, what we say, conception of what is vanaprast, right? Just like our wonderful devotee, Subhakrit, right? His wife is somewhere in India, and we're not sure if he's brahmachari, sannyasi, grihastha, or vanaprastha. Well, he's one of the four, but we're not sure which one. Hare Krishna. So, we don't have a clear understanding of the different ashrams and how they should work. I think you are a grihastha, right? Something like that. But he's living like a brahmachari, and he dances like a resident of Vrindavan. Ever see Subhakrit dance? You should watch him. You'll learn what real dancing is. This is very devotional dancing. He doesn't just dance around like we do. He has some, what we say, shakti. Anyway, so what is vanaprast, right? Vanaprast is when the children grow up and there's no more need to associate with the wife for any reason, so you gradually move apart. But we don't have a clear definition of how that works in our society. We've defined grihastha life, we've defined brahmachari life, we've defined sannyas life, but where does it talk about vanaprastha in this age? What's the word vanaprastha mean? Vana means what? Forest. And what does prastha mean? Yeah, dweller. Prastha means dweller. So vanaprastha means forest dweller. So how many of us can go to the forest? It's not the idea. You eat roots and fruits and get ready for sannyas life. Now, so Prabhupada said vanaprastha means more like kshetra sannyas. You dedicate yourself to a particular temple and a particular deity for your whole life. And you serve that deity through the end of your life, like that. So Gadadhar Pandit made that vow, I will never leave Gopinath. I will stay with Gopinath and serve him. So he did. Now one day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided, to go to Vrindavan. So he made his plans. And he organized his trip. And then what happened was, Gadadhar heard that Lord Chaitanya was going. So he said, I want to go with you. I cannot be separated from you. How can I live? And Lord Chaitanya said, you can't come. You have dedicated your life to Gopinath. You have to stay with him. You have taken a vow of Kshetra Sannyas. Therefore, you must stay. But Gadadhar was saying that wherever you are, Gopinath is. There's no difference. Wherever you are, Gopinath is. But Lord Chaitanya, who was a sannyasi and who was very strict about following the principles of sannyas, said, you know, you must follow your vow. You've taken the vow, you can't just break it. Therefore, you can't go. And Gadadhar Pandit said, to hell with my vow. Yeah, he said that. Forget it. This is a direct quote, anyway, from the Acharyas. And so he didn't want to stay. Mahaprabhu was insistent. He wouldn't let him go. Finally, Mahaprabhu decided to go, and he was going. And he got to the banks of the river. What was it? Alaka? What was the name of that river? We can see here. Yeah, I'll read it. Here it is, okay. When Mahaprabhu showed even more determination to go to Vrindavan, finally he wanted to go. Devotees finally gave permission and he decided to leave on the Vijayadashami. King Prajaparuta gave a great deal of official help to smooth his journey. When Mahaprabhu crossed the Chitrapala River to leave Puri, Ramananda Roy, Mardaraj, and Harichandana continued on in his company. Because of his Kshetra Sannyas, Srila Gadadhar Pandit was not permitted to go any farther. He was unable to tolerate the idea of separation from the Lord. However, he wanted to continue on with him. Mahaprabhu had to remind him of his vow to remain in Jagannath Puri and forbade him to go to Raj. Gadadhar retorted, to hell with my vows to remain in Puri. As far as I'm concerned, Jagannath Puri is wherever you are. Mahaprabhu insisted and told Gadadhar not to abandon his service to Gopinath. Gadadhar stubbornly argued, just seeing your lotus feet is worth a million times more than any service to Gopinath. Mahaprabhu said, if you abandon your duties to Gopinath, then it will be considered my fault. Gadadhar said, no, I will take all responsibility for any offense to Gopinath. I am going alone, not with you. I'm going to Bengal to see Sachi Mata, and not for your sake. So Mahaprabhu continued on his way north to meet the Jarikanda path, which he intended to take to Vrindavan, while Gadadhar trailed behind him, walking alone. Other than Mahaprabhu's intimate associates, no one is able to understand the extent of Gadadhar Pandit's rebellious devotion to Gauranga. Love on the path of spontaneous devotion is not easy to understand. Gadadhar was ready to abandon his vows, his service, everything for the sake of Mahaprabhu. When Mahaprabhu's party arrived in Cuttack, 100 kilometers north of Puri, Mahaprabhu called to Gadadhar and said, you have realized your objective to break your vows and leave your service. If you come with me, that will make you happy. But do you want your own happiness or mine? It will make me unhappy if you break your vows and leave Puri and break your vows to Gopinath. If you want my happiness, return to Puri and take up your vows again. That is all I have to say. When he heard Mahaprabhu's words, Gadadhar fell to the ground and fainted. Mahaprabhu told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to comfort him and accompany him back to Puri. That's when Mahaprabhu got into the boat, crossed the river, and started on his trip towards Vrindavan, which he never really made. He got as far as Ramakeli. He met Rupa and Sanatan Goswami at Ramakeli, and also he saw Jiva Goswami. And Sanatan Goswami told him, he said, "My dear Lord, you're traveling and millions of people are following you." Because when Mahaprabhu was traveling, so many people saw him and started to follow him. And just like a, it was more like a, you know, a public figure. He wanted to go alone with a couple of associates, but everyone else was following him. So finally, Sanatana Goswami said, "After you leave here, you should not go to Vrindavan. You will simply attract attention and people think you are a charlatan. You're a bogus. You're simply doing this for name and fame." Because, you know, devotees don't want followers. Na danam, na janam, na sundaram, kavitam va jagadisha kamuye. I don't want wealth, I don't want followers, I don't want the pleasures of the opposite sex. What do I want? Only pure devotional service, life after life. That's Mahaprabhu's teaching. So Nathan Goswami said, "Don't go." So what happened? Lord Chaitanya started to go anyway. And after he went a little ways, all the followers started to come. And then Lord Chaitanya started to think, "I think what Sanatan said is correct. I shouldn't go. I shouldn't go." So he turned around and went back to Puri. And he came back to Puri. And everyone was thinking, "Wow, Mahaprabhu's back. He's back already. So wonderful. Wow." Everyone was so happy. And then they asked him, "My dear Lord, you've come back so soon. This is wonderful. What happened?" "Well," he said, "I have committed offense. I have committed offense. The Lord would not let me go to Vrindavan. Why? Because I hurt the heart of Gadadhar Pandit. Therefore, I wasn't allowed to go to Vrindavan." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that. He said it with all sincerity. And he was also teaching that one should never cause any anxiety to any devotee, no matter how insignificant they are, either by body, mind, or words. We always praise the devotees. We always make friendship with devotees. We always serve devotees. We don't fight with devotees. We don't criticize devotees. We don't find fault with devotees. We don't minimize the devotees. We are not insensitive to devotees. We're not rude to devotees. We're not mechanical when it comes to relationships. Everything should be done sweetly and with devotion. This is devotional life. This is devotional community. This is what makes Krishna consciousness wonderful. And so Lord Chaitanya, he said that. Another beautiful story. Gadadhar takes initiation from Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Lord Chaitanya, one day Mahaprabhu started calling out the name of his dear associate, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, saying, "Pundarik, my father," and crying. None of the devotees present knew Pundarik, who was formerly Radharani's father, Vrishabhanu, and was thus unable to understand what the Lord meant. When they asked him, he glorified Pundarik Vidyanidhi and told him that he would shortly be coming to Navadvip, Mayapur. However, when Pundarik arrived in Navadvip, no one could recognize him. because he disguised himself as a great sense enjoyer in order to mask his profound devotional feelings. Actually, he liked dressing like that. He was an opulent devotee. Mukunda Dutt was a former resident of Chittagong and knew Pundarik very well. One day he told Srila Gadadhar Pandit that he wanted to introduce him to a very advanced Vaishnava, and he took him to Pundarik's house. So Gadadhar never met Pundarik, but Mukunda had known him. And Pundarik was very, very opulent. He had very silken, elegant garments, and his hair was combed so nicely, with scented oils in his hair, and he would wear various kinds of makeup, and he had ornaments on his hands and on his legs, on his arms, and he was so decorated and very opulent. And his house, oh, beautiful beds, nice cushions, foam, bedspreads, beautiful white foam bedspreads, wonderful decorations on the windows and on the walls. And he had servants, clay pots, or not clay pots, but were copper pots, all decorated up so nicely. It was a very elegant place. So when Gadadhar came, he was thinking, this is a great devotee. Seems like a sense enjoyer to me. So they were there, and Pundarik would chew betel nut. And then what happened was, Mukunda started to understand the mind of Gadadhar. He was thinking, Gadadhar is not feeling happy. So I should give him some instructions. So what he did, he recited a verse from the Bhagavatam. Aho patikyam stana kalakutam jigyasaya payayat api asadvi vivegatim gatra uchitam tato dhyam kamva dalalum saranam vajema. Translation. How truly amazing! The sister of Bakasura, the evil Putana, was sent on a mission to kill Krishna. Despite her evil intentions, he drank the Kalakuta poison that was mixed with her breast milk and awarded her the position of a wet nurse. Is there anyone else I can take shelter of who is more merciful than Sri Krishna? So he glorified Krishna's mercy upon Putana from this verse from Bhagavatam. As soon as Pundarik Vidyanidhi heard this verse, he began to cry, Ha Krishna! And fell to the ground in a faint. Extraordinary ecstatic symptoms began to show on his body. Gadadhar Pandit was amazed to see this reaction. And then they went on for a long time, for 6 full hours. Pundarik Vidyanidhi was in ecstasy, rolling on the ground, crying, calling out Krishna's name, and at the same time he was ripping apart his clothes, he was throwing everything around in the room. The servants saw what was happening, they came to hold him down, but as soon as the servants came, they went flying in all directions. They couldn't hold him down. He was just, you know, an ecstasy of love of God. This went on for 6 hours, and Gadadhar watched the whole thing. At the end of 6 hours, Pundarik became calm. Then just became normal again, feeling somewhat embarrassed, realizing that he had gone into this ecstasy. And then Gadadhar Pandit fell at the feet of Pundarik, made his obeisance, and Mukunda spoke. And Mukunda said, actually, Gadadhar, he would like to take initiation from you. Because Gadadhar resolved in his mind that I should take initiation from this great soul. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi, when he heard that, he said, let's see, what did he say? He was actually thinking that I had committed an offense, and to override this offense, I should take initiation. But Pundarik Vidyanidhi said, it is very rare that one gets the opportunity to have such a disciple as Sri Gadadhar Pandit. Very rare. So what happened was he took initiation from Pundarik. And Gadadhar, who was Radharani, and Pundarik was Radharani's father, Vrishabhano. So father and daughter came together once again in this beautiful, beautiful pastime. Lord Chaitanya decided to wind up his pastimes. And he did it in the most amazing way. There was a kirtan in the temple of Gopinath, a raging kirtan. Of course, every day with Lord Chaitanya there were raging kirtans. Panchatattva was always with the Lord, dancing and chanting Gadadhar, Srivas, Advaita, Nityananda. They're all our associates. Kirtan was every day, practically all day. That's all they would do was kirtan. Not much philosophy. They didn't speak much on philosophy. Because the real philosophy is kirtan. The culmination of all philosophy is to engage in kirtan. Really. If you're dancing and chanting in ecstasy in kirtan, you have realized the truth of all Vedic knowledge. That's it. We do it, but we don't realize what we're doing, so we just do it. But actually, it is the topmost aspect of devotional expression. To chant and dance in ecstasy is Lord Chaitanya's mission. Krishna Varnam Tusa Krishnan Sangopanga Saparsidam Yagnai Sankirtana Prayat Yajantihi Sumedasaha Yagnai Sankirtana Prayat. That the sacrifice in this age is the congregational glorification of the Lord by chanting His holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Kirtan's our life. Kirtan's our life. In fact, there's no life without kirtan. We can go on and do all our services, and that's nice and that's important. But the happiness that we're looking for is found in chanting and dancing. This is the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. So, Lord Chaitanya was having this raging kirtan in the temple of Gopinath, and then at one point he disappeared from the kirtan. And he went into the deity room. And then, after a few moments, everyone looked around and said, where's Lord Chaitanya? He's gone. And then they started to... And then all of a sudden, a feeling of unhappiness came over all the devotees simultaneously. Everyone realized that Mahaprabhu has left. They went into the deity room to find him, and he was gone. He entered into the body of the deity of Gopinath, which was a deity that was worshipped by Gadadhar Pandit. He entered into that body. There's a mark on the leg of Gopinath, and they say that's where Lord Chaitanya went, into his leg. So, everyone was sad. And especially Gadadhar Pandit. And so he continued to worship his deity, but he was very unhappy. In fact, he was practically crying all day, because he was never separated from Lord Chaitanya. Throughout their whole time, they were practically, they appeared at the same time, and they were together in Navadvip, they were together in Puri. The only time they weren't together was when Lord Chaitanya went to South India on this travel. He was gone for that period of 6 years. Gadadhar practically died during that time. So during that time, Well, during this time, Gadadhar continued worshipping the deity. Now, it says that Gadadhar was aging 1 year every day. Each day was like his age increased a year. Because he was so much unhappy. But he continued worship the deity. Now one day, his body was so old, although it was only about 48 years old, he was trying to put the crown on Gopinath. And Gopinath's big. And he was having a hard time putting the crown on. Because he used to do it every day, but this time his body was feeling the effects of old age. Although he wasn't old, it was just that he was growing old due to separation. So he went to put the crown on Gopinath and he couldn't reach and he was struggling. So Gopinath did something. He sat down. The deity sat down. And if you go, you see the deity, he's sitting. Tota Gopinath. Tota means garden, actually. And Gopinath means Gopinath. But he's sitting down, and he's playing a flute. You can go and take darshan, and he's sitting down. It's the only Krishna deity that's sitting down playing a flute. You have to go to Puri to see this deity. It's the most amazing. And so, just to please his disciple, Gadadhar, his servant, he sat down. So Gadadhar stayed for 11 more months after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya. But he only stayed for one reason. He wanted to leave when Lord Chaitanya left. But he stayed as a service to Srinivas Acharya. Srinivas Acharya wanted to learn Srimad Bhagavatam. And he came from Navadvipa to Puri to study under Gadadhar Pandit. So Gadadhar Pandit waited for Srinivas to come. Srinivas came, and then Srinivas requested him, please teach me Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Gadadhar Pandit was reading Bhagavatam every day. In fact, he used to read it to Lord Chaitanya. He would sit down and read the story of Prahlad Maharaj or Dhruva Maharaj. He would read the same story over and over. He would read so sweetly and so full of devotion and so full of love for Krishna that Lord Chaitanya would just enter into these pastimes based on Gadadhar's deep love, that Lord Chaitanya would never want him to stop reading. He would just read it over and over again, and Lord Chaitanya would just listen. So many times in his ecstasies, he would shed tears. So when Srinivas Acharya came to Puri to learn Srimad Bhagavatam, he said to Srinivas, you know, I'd love to teach you, but all the pages of my books are, the ink is all smeared because, you know, I've been crying a lot. So you go back to Navadvipa to the scribes there, and you have it recopied, the Bhagavatam. So Srinivas left. And while he was away, Gadadhar Pandit could not stand the separation from Lord Chaitanya any longer. And out of great ecstasy of separation, he left the world. And that was 11 months after Lord Chaitanya disappeared. And then when Srinivas came back, he was really devastated. And then someone told him, you can learn Bhagavatam from Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. So he went to Vrindavan to learn from them. But then on his way to Vrindavan, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami both left the planet. So when he got to Vrindavan, he saw a big ceremony. And he's saying, what is going on here? And he said, I'll let you know, this is the ceremony for the disappearance of Sanatana Rupa Goswami. Ah! He just fell down in ecstasy and lost consciousness. And when he gained consciousness, there was Gopal Bhatta Goswami and Jiva Goswami were there. And they taught him Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he became a fearless preacher, along with Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda. The three of them became a team. They were very close, and they would just travel and preach together. So, this is Gadadhar Pandit. Another story is that one time, who was it? Yes, I think it was Lord Nityananda brought some special rice for Gadadhar Pandit to cook for Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya, he would like rice. He would eat rice and ghee. Prabhupada said one of the best preparations is nice, beautiful, hot basmati rice with ghee. Ah, so nice. Can eat that all day. Hot basmati rice with ghee. Huh? Nothing else. So satisfying. So nutritious. One time Prabhupada was riding on the train. And he was there with a few of his servants. And he said, I want some ghee and rice. Please prepare. And, but there was no cooking facilities on the train. So Jamuna was there. And she thought, well, she went into the train's kitchen, and she said, can you prepare some rice and ghee for our spiritual master? They said, we don't do that, but if you like, you can do it. So she said, all right, I'll do it. But then she looked around, and the pots were black. Pots were so black. So I'll end the class after this pastime. So Jamuna saw the pots, and she understood Srila Prabhupada says that pots should be spotlessly clean. Any black mark on the pot is considered dirty pot. That means on the outside too. If the pots are dirty on the outside, considered to be unclean. Pots should be completely clean. Haribo. So every time you cook, you should wash the pot thoroughly, inside and out. Get all the black off. If you don't, then it stays and you can't get it off. It's very difficult. So she spent hours scrubbing those pots in a moving train just so she could prepare rice for Prabhupada. Of course, it took a long time. And then she was thinking, Prabhupada's going to think, what's wrong? Why is it taking so long? And she took a couple of hours to clean the pots and finally cook the rice. And she brought it to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was so happy. Thank you very much. This is so nice. He was so pleased. She told that story. While I was there, she told that story in India. How she just spent, first she had to argue with all these kitchen people, and finally they just let her do it, and then she had to do all the work herself. Prabhupada liked rice, and so one time Nityananda brought this very fragrant rice, the best, and then Gadadhar cooked it and served it to Lord Chaitanya. He'd offered to Gopinath, and when Lord Chaitanya, after he tasted, he said, this rice is coming from Vaikuntha. He said, this rice was brought by Nityananda. It was cooked by the loving hand of Gadadhar. And it was offered with devotion to Gopinath. And it was served with such care and attention. Gadadhar Pandit was another quality of him. He would serve so sweetly. Another art in devotional life is serving prasadam. Just getting up and feeding yourself is not Vaishnava. This idea of taking your own food, this is bogus. We do that, but I don't know. The program is that you accept prasadam. In the sitting down position, someone comes and serves. This is Krishna consciousness. Now we're in the modern age of Krishna consciousness. We just get up and serve ourselves, sometimes not even washing our hands. It's like eating. But prasadam is not eating. It's honoring Krishna's mercy. Like that. So when Gadadhar Pandit would serve so nicely, the Lord would just eat so much. And he was so happy. That's a beautiful pastime. That he was appreciating. He said, Nityananda has brought it. Gopinath has... Gadadhar has cooked it, and Gopinath has taken it, and I am accepting it as the prasadam of the Lord. This is the best prasadam I have ever had. So what is the best prasadam? The best prasadam is that prasadam that's cooked and with love and devotion. It's not ingredients. It's not expertise in cooking. It is the love and devotion that goes into the prasadam. Without that, you know, Krishna is not so attracted. He showed that. Duryodhana had the best offerings, but he didn't accept it. He accepted the banana peels of Vidura's wife to show that devotion is much higher than grand arrangements. Krishna is attracted by love like that. So prasadam and Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are full of prasadam pastimes. So many devotees taking prasadam together, devotees serving prasadam, wonderful prasadam all cooked. This is all part of Lord Chaitanya's leela. When you go to Mayapur, you will see it's so wonderful there. The devotees are still carrying out Lord Chaitanya's mood of chanting, dancing, and eating nice, wonderful foodstuffs. Offer to Lord Chaitanya the Panchatattva cooked. And then we chant and dance in great ecstasy, and this is Krishna consciousness. So today is Gadadhar Pandit's appearance day. It's a very holy day, a very special day. Absorb yourself in Gadadhar Pandit. He is one of the Panchatattva. Panchatattva Makam Krishnam. Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam. Bhakta avatar, bhakta kyam, nama bhakti shakti kam, shakti. He's the shakti energy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Gadadhar Pandit. Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrindam, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Gadadhar Panda Prabhu ki Srila Prabhupada ki Tai Gaur Premanande. Thank you very much.